Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Welcome, everybody. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and this is Living A Course in Miracles. It's our 11th series. We've been doing these classes for 5 years, and six years, and very happy to bring to you this free class today. The theme of our entire series, the 11th series, is It's Time to Rise and Shine, Taking Spiritual Action. And this particular class is the homework class for Alan Cohen's class. And I asked him if he would teach a class for us on happy, healed relationships, because he has written so much and taught so much about relationships. It seemed the perfect topic for him. And relationships are our greatest teacher and our greatest opportunity for healing. And, of course, they're our biggest challenge. So we always benefit from going deeper with A Course in Miracles and living A Course in Miracles, practicing A Course in Miracles in our relationships. And as always, I'm going to begin us here with a prayer. I like to place my hand on my heart and take a breath of love and gratitude. So grateful and so thankful to partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self for the purpose of recognizing and remembering our divinity and the divinity of all life, recognizing the mighty I Am presence, the perfect love that we are, that we're already as holy can be. We're already perfect. We're already complete. There is no separation. And we are joining together for the purpose of remembering and recognizing our union and our oneness with all life, with each other, with love itself. That we are truly made in the spiritual image and likeness of love. It's our true nature and our true identity. And so we're willing to surrender all the blocks. So grateful to open our hearts and minds to be a loving presence in all of our relationships. So grateful to open ourselves to a greater willingness to take true responsibility, full responsibility. 0% blame, 100% responsibility for our relationships. And we give the Holy Spirit the heavy lifting of figuring out how to have a healing. We stand in our willingness. We stand in gratitude. And we share the benefits of our healing and our expansion and our clarity with everyone because we're one with them. In deep gratitude, we let it be. And so it is. Amen. Amen, amen. Ah, yes, beautiful. Yes, I love to pray. I really do. It's so life-changing to be prayerful. And there are many, many beautiful prayers in A Course in Miracles. And one of the most valuable ones to me is the truly helpful prayer. It's on my page 28 in the text, and it begins with, "I am here only to be truly helpful." And that I don't have to worry or wonder what to say or what to do or where to go, because the one who sent me will guide me. Spirit will guide me. And I apply that to many, many things, and particularly in relationship challenges, because we get into our relationship challenges and the difficulties that we have relating, and we're trying to figure out what to say and what to do a lot of the time in order to repair things or in order to make things happen. And we are firmly ensconced in the ego position when we're trying to figure out what to do, what to say, when to say it. And we can completely move into our heart and follow divine guidance. And it's amazing to me how powerfully and beautifully that actually works. So I've learned that, I would like to say this. I have a saying, it's an affirmation that I have found extremely helpful, and it's this: I am willing to be the fulcrum point of healing in my family. I am willing to be the fulcrum point of healing in all my relationships. Now, sometimes people say, well, I don't know what that means, the fulcrum point. Well, the fulcrum point is when you're trying to lift something or move something that's very heavy. You can you can stick a pole under something and then kind of wrench it up. The fulcrum point is that center point where the energy shifts and the movement actually happens. And so we can be the fulcrum point for healing through our willingness. And you know what? That's exactly what we are designed to be, is to be that fulcrum point of healing in our family, in our relationships. Now, for me, the tendency for a long time was to think, let them make the first move. I need them to prove to me that they're interested in me, that they like me, that they care about me, that they're willing to apologize. Or I was always looking for other people to make the move first, because I had a fear of being rejected, a very intense fear of being rejected. So I needed some kind of proof from the other people in my life that they really wanted to be in relationship with me, that they loved me, that they were willing to have some skin in the game. And if I didn't get that proof, I was not going to make a move. I would just back away, forget this, it's not doable, I'm out of here, I don't want this, no way, Jose. And so I caused a lot of suffering, my own suffering, because of that. And one of the greatest things for me that I learned through this path of forgiveness, which I started teaching forgiveness about 6 years before I started studying A Course in Miracles. So when I started studying A Course in Miracles, I really understood that forgiveness is the way. The way to all healing, the way to spiritual awakening, the way to prosperity and abundance, physical healing, mental healing, emotional healing, relationship healing, all the healing in the world, forgiveness is the way. And what I realized when I first started teaching forgiveness was that forgiveness is non-judgment. That's what it is. It's surrendering the meaning we made of it and saying, I don't need to be attached to that anymore. I can stand in this place of willingness to be truly helpful and to be led and guided. And I do not have to have any attachment to the meaning I've made of things. I can let all my interpretations and all my beliefs dissolve and resolve permanently back to the root cause so I never experience them again. And that is the path of healing. And so once I started to practice that, my life really began to change faster and faster and faster. And the insights and the wisdom and the clarity that I deeply desired began to open in my mind and in my heart. Now, for a long time as a spiritual student, because I started studying spirituality and reading about spirituality and taking workshops and going to Sunday services at Unity Church in New York with Eric Butterworth, Eric and Olga Butterworth, back in 1986 is when I started. So it's been 30 years for me as a spiritual student. And for probably a good 20 some of those years, or maybe 18 of those years, I had such a strong belief that I was doing something wrong, that there was some key, some magic understanding. Maybe it was a code, maybe it was a chant, a mantra, something. There was something that somebody knew that I clearly did not know that would open up a real understanding of spiritual truth. So for a very long time, literally almost 20 years, I was thinking, I'm missing out on something. There's something that is elusive here. Who has it? I want to find it. How do I find it? And while I was looking for it, I kept thinking, something is wrong with me that I'm studying spirituality for so many years, and I'm even teaching spirituality, and yet I still don't feel like I really get it. I still feel like, gosh, I know so much, but why am I not really living a life of joy and love and happiness and prosperity and beauty and wisdom and truth? Why are those things still elusive when I know so much, when I'm such a good student and a good teacher? Why is it still elusive to me? And thank God, I kept asking that question. And I was wondering, am I just some kind of spiritual loser that I can't get it, that other people could get it, but I can't get it? And so I was really looking for people who got it, who really had the inner knowing. And I didn't see many of those people. But I didn't give up. I did not give up. And I kept opening myself and saying, that's what I want. I want to know the truth. I want to really know it, not on an intellectual level, but on a heart level. I am interested in truly having a breakthrough. And so because of my desire and my willingness and my continuing to ask the question, even though on so many occasions I felt like a spiritual loser, because here I was teaching love and compassion and forgiveness, still holding on to resentments, still holding on to regret, still accusing people, still just doing all kinds of things that I knew weren't very loving to myself and others. So what changed everything for me was I made the commitment not to judge anymore. Now, I still have judgments come up every single day. There's no day that goes by that I don't have judgments come up into my mind. But every day I'm free of more of them. And when they do come into my mind, I let them go. I let them go. Sometimes they go right away. Sometimes I need to hold on to them a little while and wrestle with them before I realize, oh, what am I doing? I'm just sacrificing my peace for God's sake. So in doing all of this research, spiritual research, we could call it, on my experience and my path, I learned, number one, that information is not healing. Spiritual information is not healing. Because healing is not an intellectual activity. It's a heart activity. What is healing is being loving and compassionate. Being loving and compassionate. And allowing ourselves to receive love from the divine and from others. So one of the keys is to have a real relationship with your higher Holy Spirit self. That's the first relationship we heal. And we don't have to do any of the heavy lifting. We just have to be willing to actually have a relationship with our divinity and the divinity of all life. So think of it this way. If you are in a relationship with someone that you hardly ever connect with, hardly ever spend time with, don't really talk to, don't really listen to, very little communication, what's the quality of that relationship going to be? It's not going to be a happy, healthy, healed relationship. It's going to be a distant, unsatisfying, unfulfilling relationship. And that's how many of us are with our relationship with the higher Holy Spirit self. It's not an active relationship. We're more of an acquaintance. But we can change all that just through our willingness. And so literally you can start having a conversation with your divinity, with the angels, with Jesus. All of the invisible field is filled with activity, activity of love. And we can be a part of it, an active part of it, rather than a bystander. So that's number one, is just to recognize that if you're not feeling very connected with God, it's probably because you aren't paying much attention to that relationship. Or maybe you're giving to get. So this is one of the most important things I realized in all my relationships is, am I just paying lip service to feel better? Do I really invest myself on a heart level? And another thing is, in all of our relationships, if we are giving kindness and attention and anything in order to get something in return, we're actually in a codependent, manipulative relationship. And that's a challenge for a lot of people, because a lot of people, that's the only kind of relationship that they actually know, is ones where they are giving to get. So they give affection, they give attention, they give service in order to get security or what they think is love or attention. And that is not a happy, healthy relationship. It's not. It's giving to get, and it is codependency. So one way you can tell if you're really giving to get in your relationships are, do you feel unappreciated in any of your relationships? Do you feel unappreciated? So I'm just going to give you a moment to contemplate your most challenging relationships. Do you feel unappreciated? If you feel unappreciated, you are giving to get. Because when you're giving from the heart, you just don't need appreciation. Because you're giving from the heart. That's the joy of it. When you're giving from the heart, you don't need anything back, including a paycheck. That's right. One of the things that I decided to do, maybe it was 2004, was I decided, okay, I'm not going to work for money anymore. I'm only going to work for love. I'm only going to work for the love of it. And that was a life-changing decision for me. to work only for love. And it changed my relationship with work. Didn't happen overnight, but it definitely happened. So if you're giving to get in your relationships, probably you are keeping score in some way and you are feeling unappreciated, because it often comes. Well, you see, giving to get is also living in expectation, and expectations are generally a recipe for disappointment. So if you're feeling disappointed in your relationships, look at, are you giving to get? Do you have expectations? Now, I've done a lot of relationship counseling. I've been a counselor since the year 2000, a spiritual counselor, and now I'm training spiritual counselors, which is one of my great joys, to help facilitate people in being great spiritual counselors. And I'm going to take a moment here and make a plug for my trainees and my certified counselors. So if you go to jenniferhadley.com and in the classes menu, there's the counseling page. And or you could probably Google Jennifer Hadley counseling and find it as well. And yes, I do counseling sessions. And what I would like to really let people know about is I'm training spiritual counselors, and I have a certification program for those who would like to have a career as a spiritual counselor or to just improve their counseling skills. And I also offer spiritual counseling intensive, which therapists and coaches and all kinds of people like that who need, continuing education units or licensing units can take my intensive in order to meet those requirements. Same with my Finding Freedom Spiritual Bootcamp class. You can take that also for CEUs, continuing education or continuing licensing units. And so that's one of the aspects of our program. But with the spiritual counselors, while they're in training, I ask that if they get a referral from my website, that they would do that session on a love offering basis. And sometimes people will ask me, well, how do I know what an appropriate love offering is? In all cases of doing a love offering, here's what you do. You tune in. I like to place my hand on my heart. I tune in to the higher Holy Spirit self, and I just ask, what is the appropriate love offering here? What am I to offer? And then whatever that amount is, I've learned to follow that guidance and offer it. So you can do counseling with my trainees on a love offering basis. So I invite you again, go to jenniferhadley.com, and it's probably /counseling. Or you can look under the class section on the menu bar there for counseling. Counseling, spiritual counseling is awesome, and it really made a huge difference in my life. And I'm so grateful to be able to train counselors now. So I have done quite a bit of relationship counseling with couples, all kinds of couples. And one of the things is, oftentimes people in couples have expectations that they've never even told anyone about. They've never told their partner, their spouse, their business partner that they have these expectations, yet they're feeling disappointed. And what they don't realize is that in addition to these expectations that have never been discussed, they're giving to get, so their expectations are not being met, and they're keeping score, and they're building resentment. So I call it making resentment stew, putting in this kind of upset and that kind of upset and this kind, and stirring it all up until you have a big stew pot of resentment. And what often happens when people have this high level of resentment is they're blaming all their resentment on other people. But who made the resentment stew? I did. So why would I blame anyone else for it? It's for me to let go of. So what I've learned is that having expectations and giving to get are recipes for disaster. And I'm interested in having successful, harmonious relationships. And love is the great healer and love is the great redeemer. And what I've seen in my life with myself and with others is that, because I used to behave badly all the time. I mean, I ruined many holidays, family holidays, with being upset. And I used to throw temper tantrums. And I would be completely irrational, unreasonable, and provocative, and unkind. And I ruined a lot of family moments that way. And all of it has taught me so much. And one of the greatest things it's taught me is to have compassion for people when they're not in their right mind. Rather than to judge them and accuse them and be angry and resentful towards them, to have compassion. And when I have compassion, love and compassion for someone who's not in their right mind and is behaving in a way that's self-destructive or destructive to our relationship, and I can have compassion for them, they're going to come back into their right mind more quickly. Because many people who are behaving badly in relationship, they're poking to try and get you to reject them. Because they figured that rejection's going to come sooner or later. Why not let it come sooner before I get too attached? And so people will poke in a relationship. And it's difficult. It's really difficult. So it's not that we accept all that behavior. We don't accept it. But we don't judge it. So I'm going to invite you to turn within. And just see, is there anybody who in your life, in your relationship life, who seems to be poking you to get angry, to reject them, to leave them, to desert them, to tell them they're an idiot, to tell them they're impossible to love? Is there anybody who's acting that way? A lot of people have abandonment issues, and this is how they show up. That's right. I once had an experience where I went away with a friend, and we were on a spiritual trip together, and it was just lovely. It was so lovely. We had such a good time together. We became much closer. We had no problems. We just really enjoyed each other, did a lot of spiritual practice, had a lot of healing together. It was delightful. It was wonderful. It was deep. It was so, so good. And the day before we were to return home, my friend started acting angry with me and annoyed with me and frustrated with me. It was giving me a hard time about everything. And I had never seen my friend behave like that ever before. And I thought, okay, this is very strange. Something is going on. But I knew enough not to take it personally. I knew it was an anomaly. It was something very unusual. And so I just held my loving space. And I was patient and kind, you know, and sometimes people can get PMS, right? Premenstrual, or and men have their own version of it, right? We get triggered. And the thing is sometimes when people are triggered, it's not the time to ask them about it. but just to be patient and kind and generous with them and not to take any of it personally because it's not personal. But the error many times that we make is we do take it personally. We get threatened, we get triggered, so we take it personally, and now we're taking offense, and now we're angry, and now there's a big fight and a big blow up. But chances are, when someone is behaving in a way that's irritating or frustrating, where they're agitated and annoyed and taking it out, they're feeling very, very vulnerable. They've gotten really triggered. And so to be able to have compassion for them and just say, hey, I can see you're having a really difficult time right now. Is there anything I can do to support you right now? Rather than, hey, I'm not going to take your stuff. I'm sick of your stuff. I'm not interested in that, blah, blah, blah. Instead of accusing them and rejecting them, what about just opening your heart to them and saying, hey, are you okay? I noticed that you're really not acting like you normally do, and it seems like you've gotten really triggered, and I just want you to know I'm here to support you. How can I support you? Can I support you? Is there anything? Now, sometimes people really could use some support, but they don't know what to ask for. They just don't know. So when they don't know what to ask for, sometimes for some people, when we ask, how can I support you? What can I do? Even that question can be overwhelming. And I sensed that was going on with my friend on that day. And so I just kept being loving and patient, not taking anything personally all day. And then I moved into that place of, honey, are you okay? You seem to be really agitated. What's going on? Can I help you? But not, hey, what's going on? Not accusing, just like, how can I support you? And my friend didn't even really realize what was going on. But then when I asked her about it, she kind of broke down and just said, we've had such a good time these 2 weeks, and all my abandonment issues are coming up because we're not going to be together like this anymore. And I'm getting really triggered. I'm getting really triggered. And that is such a common thing for people, that they have abandonment issues that get triggered. And then they start acting in unkind, unloving, distant ways, all kinds of different ways. But what's really going on is they love us so much and they enjoy being with us so much that there's something that's making them think, whoa, wait a minute, maybe we're not as close as I thought, or maybe this person is going to leave me, or maybe this relationship is not what I thought it would be. And so if we're not willing to look more deeply than the surface, we're going to miss a lot of what's going on, and we're going to take it personally. Because whenever we're taking offense, we're taking things personally. We're just looking at the surface, and it's so easy to make an interpretation or a meaning of something that's not actually intended. And it's certainly not helpful. So this is where we can just take a breath and say, Holy Spirit, help me now. Help me now. Guide me and lead me to the most loving experience in this relationship. Guide me to the healed relationship. And one of my favorite sections in all the text of A Course in Miracles is the section in chapter 17 on the healed relationship. And I'm not going to go into that really deeply right now, but I'm going to give you some resources because I have taught so much on that section because it's one of my favorites and it's so helpful in relationship. One thing I would encourage you to do is to read it again and again, and you will get so much benefit from that. Now, in my A Course in Miracles radio show, I have done I don't know, quite a lot of episodes on relationship. Oftentimes, I dedicate the whole month of February to relationships. So if you go in and you just search at iTunes, let's say, or at maybe at Stitcher, you can do that because you can get the podcast and you can easily for free download all the episodes. And one of our projects coming up is to make the episodes into videos with closed captioning, because a lot of people would like to have that to help them, because not a lot of the people who are interested these days in learning A Course in Miracles are discovering it from other countries. And so a lot of the teaching of A Course in Miracles is in English. They don't speak English as a first language. So as we're transcribing the radio shows, we're going to make them into videos with closed captioning. So that's another thing that as the funds come in for that, we'll be able to do that as well. There are many, many episodes of the radio show on relationship. And also in previous Living A Course in Miracles classes, we did an entire series. It was number 7, called About Holy Relationships. Whew, that was so good, that whole series. And that series was a bigger series, and it was 17 classes on holy relationships. 17 classes with so many good teachers. I know Dove Fishman was one of them. Trying to think of some of the others. Gary Renard was one of them. Maybe Regina Dawn Akers, David Hoffmeister. Anyway, really, really great series of classes. You can get that. It's for sale right now. It's one of those series that was for sale at livingacourseofmiracles.com in the store. So I'm not going to go into detail about the healed relationship from chapter 17, but all those resources, I refer again and again to that section on the holy relationship. But one of the things that it does talk about in there is that when we have an ego-based relationship versus a holy or spirit-based relationship, then what we often do is we'll move into that place if we're a student of A Course in Miracles and we're truly interested in having a healing, is we'll move into that place of, okay, I'm ready to have a holy relationship. I'm ready to have this relationship be transformed. And we'll turn it over to spirit. But then what happens is it actually can get far more challenging before it gets healed. So in the healing process, it can seem like a crisis of healing. And it's in that crisis of healing that a lot of people give up on the relationship. They give up on spirit. And they abandon the relationship. And this is one of the reasons why we have so many abandonment issues, is because in many, 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 many past lives, we abandoned our relationships in one way, shape, or form. And one way that we abandon our relationships is we push people away. We push people away through all kinds of tactics: getting angry, not paying attention, not being kind. We push people away through taking advantage of them. We push people away through being a martyr, where we're giving and giving and giving and giving and nobody's even asking for anything, and we're giving and giving and giving, and then we're angry and resentful because we've given and given and given and given so much and it's not appreciated. We fear intimacy because It's that thing of intimacy, into me, I see. We don't really like to look deeply into our hearts because we feel there's so much darkness in our hearts. It's not true. It's not true. But we have ego attachments that seem like there's darkness in our hearts. And, you know, I've done so many workshops and classes and retreats with people. And very often, when I ask a large group of people, do you ever secretly feel that you're evil or dark? A large number of people will admit to it. And I used to feel that way too. I used to feel like, that's why I'm so mean, because I'm fundamentally evil. But the truth is, for all of us, I am fundamentally good. I am fundamentally good. This is the truth of my being and your being and every being, because we're of God and we're united, we're one. So if one is evil, all are evil. But we're all fundamentally good. And the only thing that's evil or bad about us is our belief in evil and badness. And that's a projection. It's not true. It's an illusion. It's a delusion. So we will avoid the intimacy and we will push people away in order to avoid the intimacy because we don't want to look deeply. And a lot of times when we have intimacy issues with other people in our life, and we're thinking, I'd like to have a more intimate relationship, but they don't want to. It's them, it's them, it's them. We've got to take responsibility for everything that we see and everything we experience with no blame. So what does that really look like, taking responsibility? Course in Miracles has that beautiful passage on page 448 in the text. It's in the section, Responsibility for Sight. And it says, I am responsible for all that I see. And my shorthand version of it is, I am responsible for all that I see, and everything is just as I wish it would be. But let's see here. What it really says is this. I think this is so helpful. So this is chapter 21, section 2, my page 448. And it says here, we have repeated how little is asked of you to learn this course. It is the same small willingness you need to have your whole relationship transformed to joy. The little gift you offer to the Holy Spirit, for which He gives you everything, the very little on which salvation rests, the tiny change of mind by which the crucifixion is changed to resurrection. And being true, it is so simple that it cannot fail to be completely understood. Rejected, yes, but not ambiguous. And if you choose against it now, it will not be because it is obscure, but rather that this little cost seemed, in your judgment, to be too much to pay for peace. So in other words, it says, you'll understand this, but you still may reject it. And because being able to live with it and work with it is too much to pay for peace. That's what people often think. But it's not. It's not. Go for it. So it says here, this is the only thing that you need do for vision, happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin, all to be given you. Let me just repeat that. This is the only thing you need do for vision, happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin, all to be given you. Say only this, but mean it with no reservations, for here the power of salvation lies. So here's what you say. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feeling I experience and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. That's it. So say that. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. That's it. So now we can look at war and famine and terror and horrible things that happen in relationships. People get murdered, attacked, raped, beaten. I am responsible for what I see? What? How could I be responsible for that? Well, going back to what I was saying before, it's 100% responsibility, zero blame. So we haven't done something wrong. Whatever is happening that seems like it's happening to us is an opportunity for us to heal our mind. Now, a lot of times it doesn't make sense. So trying to make sense of it is not the way to go. Because remember, the ego analyzes what the spirit already knows. So when we're trying to understand things, when we're trying to figure them out, that's a sure sign that we're not operating from spirit, we're operating from ego. Ego does not understand. Spirit already knows. If we'd like to know what something is for, ask spirit. Maybe you don't need to know what things are for. I don't know what anything is for, lesson 25. That helps me every day. Well, I don't know what that's for, but it's for my learning, and I am willing to learn. I'm willing to be a happy learner, and one of the ways to be a happy learner is not to judge and think we need to know what everything is for. Everything will be made clear to us at some point. So eventually, we'll be able to see through and beyond all directions of time and space. And when our mind opens to that fifth dimensional awareness, we'll know what everything is for. Until then, maybe we don't need to know. I sometimes say that spirit works on a need-to-know basis. So I'm going to invite you now to turn within and just think about where you might be, in a sense, frustrated or irritated because you don't know what's going on in a relationship and you want to know. And ask yourself, why do you want to know? Why do you want to know what's going on? Why do you want to have more clarity? Why do you need to know? And a lot of times it's going to be because you like to make decisions. You want to make a decision to stay in the relationship or go. Remember that old Clash song? Love that song. Should I stay or should I go? I need to know. Should I stay or should I go? But if we're wondering, should I stay or should I go? Who's wondering? The ego is wondering. The spirit knows. Tune into the spirit. Be willing to be led and guided. So often I talk with people who want to abandon the relationship and get out because it's not making them happy and they're confused and they don't have enough information. They want to run so they won't get hurt. But that's not the way. A lot of times people will say to me, I just want to end this relationship, Jennifer. I just want to get out of it. And I just say honestly and authentically to them, well, I can certainly understand why you want to run and get out. I really, really do. That makes perfect sense to me. And let's just think about this for a second. If you're one with that person, and you are, and you're both eternal, which you are, isn't your relationship in the oneness eternal? And if so, how can you actually end the relationship? Isn't that a fantasy? Wouldn't you rather have a relationship healing, whatever that looks like, than abandon the relationship and deal with all the repercussions of that abandonment? Because what we do to others will be done to us. This is how it goes. It's not so that we're punished, it's so that we can learn. It's just so we can learn and so we can have more compassion and more understanding. So what I've learned is, in keeping with that section, the healed relationship, is just give the relationship to the Holy Spirit. And when there's a healing crisis in the relationship, to just keep turning it over and turning it over to the Holy Spirit to make sense of it, to do the heavy lifting, to lead, guide, and direct. Declare that you are willing to be truly helpful, to be the fulcrum point of healing in your family and in all your relationships. And this is what I have seen in my family and all my relationships. I have seen so much healing. So much healing. Unbelievable. And truly, in my doing my own work of taking responsibility for what I see, what happened was I saw my parents have healing in their relationship. I saw my brother and his wife have healing in their relationship. I definitely had healing in all my relationships. Amazing, miraculous healing happening all around me because I changed my mind about myself and everyone in my relationship world, including work relationships. I love listening to people. I have a year-long class that I offer called Masterful Living, and it's for people who would like to feel masterful in living these principles. And so I also have a Finding Freedom Spiritual Boot Camp class that's a shorter class. But the year-long class, the boot camp too, in both of those, a lot of people will make healing their relationships their priority. And people who really apply themselves say again and again how profoundly healing it's been for them. And they are amazed at the miracles that happen in their relationships and how even relationships that seem to be falling apart, where people think, oh, this marriage is over, I cannot take it. A year later, they're more in love than ever, so grateful for their spouse. All kinds of shifts happen when people really live these principles. And it's so much easier when we do it together. So I do invite you to check out my Masterful Living course, my Finding Freedom course, if you'd like to go deeper and do this work with me. One of the things I'd like to share with you, it keeps coming up into my mind, is so I know that's divine guidance here, is I used to be a very sarcastic person, very snarky, very sarcastic, and very quick with the sarcasm. And I hurt a lot of people with my mean, sarcastic comments. And I had an experience once, many years ago, where I was cooking dinner with a friend. And it was the first time we'd done that. It was someone that we had spent quite a bit of time together, but we hadn't been alone together that much. And now we were making dinner together for the first time. And we were in the kitchen cutting up the vegetables, that kind of thing. And my friend started to tease me in a way that was sarcastic and making fun of me. And it kind of surprised me, like, where's that coming from? And I've seen this many, many times, so this is just one example. And I thought, this is kind of strange. Why are they suddenly being very sarcastic with me and making fun of me? I realized that, oh, this is something that they do at home in their family with their spouse and their kids, and that's what they do. They tease each other and make fun of each other. And so I said, I don't know what's going on here exactly, but suddenly now you're making fun of me and being sarcastic. And I'm not really enjoying that. I'm wondering, is something going on here? Are you is something bothering you? And they were like, oh, no, I'm just being playful. That's what we do at home during dinner. We will make fun of the way somebody's cutting up the carrots or the way they're stirring the pot, and that's what we do. And I said, okay, well, it's really not my way. I used to be very sarcastic, and it feels unkind to me. And they're like, no, I'm just teasing you. Can't you take a joke? And I said, yeah, it just doesn't feel really loving and kind. And it's not for me. And that's just how I feel about sarcasm. It's not for me. And not that I'm never sarcastic, believe me, I'm still have my moments, and I'm still working with healing that. But I used to be super, super sarcastic, so I'm very aware of the energy of it. But what I learned from that moment was that sarcasm is a way to interrupt the flow of intimacy. And so one way to avoid that into me, I see, the intimacy of relationship is to be sarcastic, is to tease someone, is to be somewhat unkind or impatient, these kinds of things. It is a way to destroy the intimacy in a relationship and to keep people from getting close, is through sarcasm and teasing and making fun of people. And I had not seen that in that way before. So I'm just inviting you to turn within once again and look at, where do you experience sarcasm, teasing? And can you trace the root cause back to a fear of intimacy? And perhaps from now forward, if you notice that going on in your relationships, whether it's you or someone else, you could recognize it as a display of fear of intimacy. And fear of intimacy is often a result of experiencing abandonment and having abandonment issues. So if someone is teasing you and being sarcastic with you, maybe they have abandonment issues. And maybe it's just a way of testing, are you going to reject me? Are you going to leave me if I start behaving in ways that aren't so sweet, kind, and loving? What's your tolerance? What if I'm not always nice? Will you run away from me? To a way of pushing and testing. So looking at yourself and looking at your loved ones, where there's pushing and testing in the relationship. And can you have compassion for it instead of judging it, instead of being triggered by it and being angry and hurt and resentful? Can you have compassion? And when someone is pushing you away, breaking the intimacy with unkind remarks, can you open your heart further? More love, more compassion, more kindness. And take a breath and invite the Holy Spirit to guide you to be truly helpful. Rather than taking offense, rather than running away, rather than giving as good as you get, can you move into your heart and open your heart even more? Because the thing I've definitely learned is when my heart is completely open, that's when I'm really completely safe. When my heart is completely open, I cannot be hurt. When I feel hurt, it's because I'm judging every time. I've taken things personally that aren't meant personally. Even when somebody attacks and it seems like it's meant personally, someone says, "You're an idiot. How could you not take that personally?" People who are in their right mind don't speak that way. People who are in their right mind are kind and gentle and loving and joyful and harmonious and peaceful. When people are in their wrong mind, why take anything they say personally? They're identified with the ego. They're not being their true self. They're being the ego. So this is why when we place our trust and faith in people who are identified with the ego, we're placing our trust and faith in the ego. It's probably not going to go well. We place our trust only in spirit. And we can tell when people are identified with spirit and when they're identified with ego. And a lot of times when people are identified with ego, and we know in our heart that they are not trustworthy because they're identified with the ego, we wish to overlook it because we want what we want and we're willing to take the risk. We're not willing to take responsibility for what we see. So taking responsibility for what I see is the key to our healed relationship. That everything that happens in our relationships is an opportunity for us to see things correctly. Now, we don't accept any abuse or unkindness, but we also don't judge it. We don't accept it, and we don't judge it. So it's perfectly reasonable in our relationships to say, you know what? I don't like being treated that way, and I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to accept it. And we can't say those things as long as we don't love ourselves. So all of our relationship healing is predicated on loving ourselves. How do we love ourselves? We pay attention to our feelings and we honor them. We honor our feelings. We are loving with ourselves through listening to our heart and partnering up with the higher Holy Spirit self, speaking that truly helpful prayer. I am here only to be truly helpful. I don't have to wonder what to say, where to go, what to do, because the one who sent me will lead, guide, and direct me. You see, and then we become a healing presence. He will teach me to heal as I learn how to heal. I will be healed. Let us all be healed of all abandonment issues, all brokenheartedness, all fear. This is what our holy purpose is, to live a life of extraordinary love. We start with ourselves and it ripples and ripples outward. So a reminder that you have many, many episodes of my radio show on relationship. If you'd like to get into this deep work of healing the mind and making our relationships that Oh, that ultimate beautiful garden of healing that they're designed to be. You can definitely check out my Finding Freedom course, my year-long Masterful Living course, if you'd like to get into class with me, doing the classes with me and in a community. And then there are free classes also on the events page at jenniferhadley.com. And then don't forget also the counseling opportunities with my counselors in training, and to do that work on a love offering basis. Lots and lots of opportunities here for healing. I'm encouraging you to read that healed relationship section. It's I think section 5 in chapter 17, and to read it again and again and again. It's so clear and helpful. So I'm going to speak a word of prayer here. And remember too, if you don't actually even have A Course in Miracles, you can get the Course in Miracles app for free, and you'll have all three books in there. And one of the great things about that app is you can set reminders. You can do searches in there. So you can search for relationship. You can search for all kinds of things and find the perfect quote for you or the perfect teaching for you. And you'll have the manual for teachers, the workbook, and the text all right there in that app. And what a bonus. Totally free. Okay. Oh, so I'm thankful and grateful here as I place my hand on my heart, and I invite you to join me in prayer for our relationships. We partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self, and we declare that we are willing to have relationship healing in our relationships, in all our relationships. We are willing to be the fulcrum point of healing. We are grateful and thankful to partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self for this holy purpose. We are willing to take responsibility for what we see. We are willing to be the happy learners and have happy, healed relationships. So grateful to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us every step of the way. We are grateful to give up the habits of sarcasm and keeping score and being snarky. We're giving up all the habits that interrupt the flow of love in our heart and disconnect us from the flow of love. We are grateful and thankful to lay on the altar fire of love, any and all beliefs and patterns and habits of fear of abandonment, fear of intimacy, regret, resentment, jealousy, unforgiveness. We're letting all of it dissolve and resolve permanently back to the root cause so that we never experience it again. We're giving the heavy lifting of all the healing to the Holy Spirit, and we're accepting the healing. We're allowing the healing. We're sharing the benefits of the healing with everyone because we're one with them. In gratitude, we let the healing be. We know it is done, and so it is. Amen. Amen, amen. Ah, thank you. Thank you for a great class. Thank you for joining me. Remember that the more you listen, the more you will hear. I invite you to listen again and again. Enjoy the downloads. The transcripts will be coming. And please share with friends and loved ones. Listen together, and you'll get even more out of it because you can discuss it as the two or more who are gathered in the name and the nature of love. And I love you. God bless you. I thank you. Mwah! This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking.
Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.